الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا، قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره، قد جاءتكم بينة من ربكم، فأوفوا الكيل والميزان ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها. صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected ulama, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters that may be listening from home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recounted in the Quran Majeed incidents of different nations and communities and the anbiya that came to them, the warnings that they gave and the destruction that befell these communities. And from amongst those incidents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that of Shu'aib alayhi salam many times in the Quran. وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Shu'aib alayhi salam to his community, the people of Madian. Madian is an area in present-day Jordan which was called by this name because it had been settled by a person whose name was Madian bin Ibrahim. And these were the progeny of Madian, and therefore this town was also called Madian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also refers to this community as Ashabul Aika, the people of the trees. It is mentioned that they would also worship trees. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Shu'aib alayhi salam to these people, firstly to warn them and advise them and encourage them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. And this was the command that all of the anbiya came down with to the different communities that they lived amongst. But in addition to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically sent Shu'aib alayhi salam to warn these people against a very despicable act that they would carry out, along with associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people were guilty of the grave sin of cheating one another in commercial transactions. They were guilty of cheating one another in commercial transactions. So after encouraging them and commanding them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively, Shu'aib alayhi salam then commands them, فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, that fulfill the complete value of weight and measure. فَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانِ وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ, and do not deprive people, do not shortchange people of that which is due to them. So this was the second command that Shu'aib alayhi salam gave to them with regards to their commercial transactions. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا, and do not cause mischief and corruption in the earth after the balance, the order in the earth has already been set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when we engage in this despicable act of shortchanging one another, particularly in weight and in measure, and when we withhold the rights of people that are due to them, we upset the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the world. And in this command, ulama explain that it is not only shortchanging in weight and measure that is being spoken about, but rather all rights of people whether it be commercial, whether it be social, whether it be in the form of our worship as well, the right that is due to whoever it is due should be fulfilled completely. Mufti Shafi Saab mentions under the commentary of this verse, Mufti Shafi Usmani, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the other nations, the primary reason for their destruction was the corruption of their iman. The fact that they either did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there were two communities who were destroyed. In addition to their associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were destroyed for the evil actions that they carried out. The first was the community of Lut alayhi salam, who engaged in the despicable act of sodomy. And the second was the people and the community of Shu'aib alayhi salam, who engaged in the act of cheating one another in commercial transactions. Now over and above this, Shu'aib alayhi salam, he tells his people, after commanding them with all of this, that inni arakum bi khair, that I see that you are in a prosperous condition. Meaning that you are not financially challenged, you are not constrained, you are not poor, which may have led you to this despicable practice of shortchanging in measure and weight. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with worldly comfort. Now let us reflect upon these verses and reflect upon our own condition as well. How many comforts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, yet we still continue to fail to fulfill the rights of the people that are due to them. So this was a very despicable action, that despite the condition, the affluence, the comfort and the luxury, ulama explained that not only were they prosperous, but the price of their goods was very fair. It was actually low. It was easy for them to live. Inflation was not rife in that particular community. So how did they cheat in measure and weight? When they would purchase items, for example food, if they were the buyers, they would ensure that they got the full amount that was due to them and sometimes a little bit extra. So they got the full right for themselves. But when the other side of the transaction occurred and they were the sellers and they were now selling items, for example food, then they would shortchange their customers in measure and in weight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in a different verse of the Quran. وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ, that woe to those who shortchange, who curtail. What do they do? الَّذِينَ إِذَا اتَّالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ, that when they are taking their own measure, they take it in full. They take their right, their haq in full, and sometimes they take more than what is due to them. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ, but when the time comes for them to fulfill the weight and the measure of the other side, of the counterparty, then they shortchange these people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us against this grave sin that was committed by the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam. Now ulama explain that when it comes to shortchanging people in weight and measure, in reality what we are doing is we are depriving people of their rights. Therefore, any act that we carry out wherein people's rights are being withheld will fall within the ambit of this particular verse. Imam Malik rahimahullah mentions in his Muwatta that Umar radiallahu anhu once saw a person who was not performing his ruku and his sajda correctly. He was shortchanging the ruku and the sajda. So he called this person and he said to him that you are guilty of tatfif. You are guilty of shortchanging the right due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the manner in which you are performing your salah. Imam Malik then mentions from this and based on this principle, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَفَاءٌ وَتَطْفِيفٌ, that everything has its full measure, but at the same time it has a short measure. Every transaction that we engage in, we can either discharge it in full, we can either give the haq to the counterparty in full, or we may shortchange them. Now what is the outcome of engaging in this practice, of shortchanging people of their rights. Shu'aib alayhi salam warns his people and he says that, إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ مُحِيطٍ. That I fear for you, O my community, the punishment of the all-encompassing day. I fear this punishment, this adab that will befall you as a result of your disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one is the punishment that will befall a person in the akhirah, the fire of Jahannam that the person will be thrown into because of these types of transactions that they engage in. And the other is the adab that is felt in this world. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu an mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once advised them and said that there are five things in which you will be tested, and I seek refuge that you do not live to see these five things. From amongst them, we don't have time to go into all of them, but from amongst them, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when people cheat in weight and measure, when people cheat in weight and measure, then they will be stricken with famine, severe calamities, and oppression from their rulers. Famine, calamities, and oppression from their rulers. In addition to this, they will be stricken with soaring inflation. Mufti Shafi Sahib, under the commentary of this verse, also mentions that another hadith wherein they will be afflicted with faqr. Now generally we translate faqr as poverty. But Mufti Sahib explains that it is, the correct translation is far greater than poverty, rather it is to be dependent upon others for your basic necessities and to be constantly in need. This is faqr. So when we cheat in weight and measure, faqr will become widespread. Faqr will increase. And when we look around us and we see how much we are dependent on others for our basic necessities, whether it is our accommodation, whether it is our water, our electricity, the basic necessities of life. Ulama mentioned even our ability to move around in the world is so restricted. And we've seen an increase in that in the last few years, that a person can't just go wherever he feels like. All of this is as a result of the faqr, which has become widespread, when people and communities engage in cheating one another. Now, when it comes to our commercial transactions, each and every one of us engage in commercial transactions on a daily basis in different ways. And each and every one of us has to introspect as to how we are fulfilling the right of the counterparty in a particular transaction. Let us take, for example, a businessman. A businessman, on the one hand, he engages in a transaction and he has a customer. Is he fulfilling the requirements of the customer, whether it is the delivery of the goods or services? Is he delivering it on time? Is he delivering it in full? Is he giving the customer the quality and the quantity that has been ordered? How often we find that in our business transactions, sometimes we promise to deliver something to somebody tomorrow, but we only deliver it 2 weeks later. Sometimes we promise to deliver a particular type of good, a particular quality of good, but when we deliver it, the quality is deficient, or the quantity is deficient. On the other hand, the same businessman also has a relationship with his suppliers. How often do we pay our suppliers late? Sometimes we short pay them, and sometimes we don't even pay them at all. Sometimes we pay them late, sometimes we short pay them, and sometimes we don't even pay them at all. This is rife within our communities. So this businessman has to introspect that, am I fulfilling the right of the counterparty in this transaction that I am engaging in? When it comes to our customers, how open are we about the defects that we have in our goods? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that that person that conceals the defects in the products that he is selling, the barakah from that transaction will be destroyed. Then when we look around and we see that we may have an abundance of wealth, but there's no contentment of heart. There's no istighna'iyat. There's no independence. Ulama explained that whilst we may have this abundance of wealth, when we engage in these types of commercial transactions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out the barakah from those transactions. Then you might have an employer who engages in a contract with his employee. Here too, that employer has certain rights that he has to fulfill for that employee. He has contracted that employee to work for a specified amount of time, for a specified wage, and for a specific job. How often we find that the employer expects the employee to do more than what he is supposed to do. He expects him to work longer hours than he has been contracted to do on a regular basis, and he does not compensate him for that extra time. Or he does not compensate that person adequately for the time that he is spending here. Our ulama were so particular about this, that when they engaged the services of a person, they made sure that it was clarified up front. This is the work that you would do. This is the amount of time that you are expected to work. And this will be the remuneration. And then when that work is completed, the payment for that service is given to them immediately. Not that the person has to come, has to beg, has to cry for weeks, for months on end to receive what is his haqq and what is due. On the other hand, whilst we may talk about the employers, we also find that the employee has got a right and an obligation, has got an obligation against his employer. The employer has a right over the employee, and the employee has an obligation towards the employee. That I have been contracted as a worker in this particular company to work from this time to this time, from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Those are my working hours. There's a set amount of time for the lunch break. These are the duties that I am supposed to carry out. How often we find that employees will habitually come late to work, or they will leave early from work, or they will take time off during the day to attend to personal matters. But when it comes to the end of the month, there's no reconciliation with the employer to say to him that, "Bhai, I took out 3 or 4 hours from the month to attend to these personal matters. The amount of time I'm supposed to work for the month, for example, 160 hours, which is the norm, you should only pay me for 155 or 156 hours. Our ulama were so particular, our kabir were so particular about this, that even when teaching Quran and hadith in the madrasa and earning a salary, we would find that our akabir, if they had to attend to a personal matter during class time, which generally they would not do, but even if they had to attend to a personal matter, they would move away from the seat that they were sitting on, lest they utilize the property of the madrasa for their personal benefit. And then they would keep a record of the time that they spent in that personal service. Sometimes it might even have been a dini khidmat or a dini service. But they would keep a record of the time, and at the end of the month, they would go to the madrasa administration and they would mention to the administrator that during the month I attended to personal matters for 1.5 hours, 1 hour 45 minutes. Kindly deduct this from my salary. A person mentioned to me personally that he once witnessed in Darul Uloom Karachi, the assistant of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Hafidhahullah going to the madrasa administration at the end of the month with some funds, and he was paying this into the madrasa account. So this person inquired that, "What are you doing?" And he explained that in Mufti Saab's home, which was on the madrasa property, he had some animals, some goats, some cattle, whatever it might have been, and occasionally they end up grazing out of his property and on the madrasa property. And they are now partaking of the grass and the feed that is sitting on the madrasa property. So to ensure that he is not taking away from the right of the madrasa at the end of the month, he gives a certain amount back from his salary or whatever he earns back to the madrasa to make sure that he is discharging the right of the madrasa against him in this situation. So as employees, that personal time that we take off, especially nowadays with our mobile phones, a lot of our time is spent at work attending to personal matters, attending to matters at home, attending to home deliveries, going on to our banking, going on to social media and engaging in chit-chat with our friends. This is time that has been purchased from us by our employers. So we have to be extremely careful that we give our full due and measure to our employers and to our employees. And this was the hallmark of our pious predecessors. What is the solution, or how do we bring this consciousness of fulfilling and discharging the rights of one another in all of our transactions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the solution. The first solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the question in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, that أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, that do these people who are guilty of curtailing the rights of one another, shortchanging in measure and weight, do they not realize that they will be resurrected on a great day? And what will happen on that day? يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On that day, these people will have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will have to give account for all those rights that they had shortchanged from the people in this dunya. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That on that day, we hear this verse being recited at the end of every Bukhari khatam, at the end of every graduation jalsa, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we will place the scales of justice on the day of qiyamah. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. That nobody, no soul will be oppressed in the least. All of those rights that we usurped in this dunya, whether it was the right of our customers, that we did not deliver the correct goods at the right price, at the right time, the right quantity, the right quality, whether it is the right of our suppliers, whom we did not pay on time, whom we did not pay in full, sometimes whom we did not pay at all, whether it is the rights of our employees who worked for us till late into the night and we did not compensate them for it, or we burdened them with that which they were unable to do. Very important as well. What is that employee able to do? Sometimes we have an old person that is working for us, yet we expect that old person to carry 10 kg bags of rice, 10 kg bags of flour. We expect that person to work in the hot sun, in the midst of the garden. We have to ask ourselves, does that individual have the capability to do the task that we are asking them to do? So on the day of Qiyamah, we will have to answer for those rights. We will have to answer for those rights which as employees, that time that we stole, that time that we stole from our employers. And not only the time that we stole, but the quality of the work that we carried out. How often we find that when we do something, we do a half-baked job. This is not the spirit of Sharia. We should do the best. We should do it to the best of our ability. That even if we are sitting there from 8 to 5 every day, we should make sure that the work that we carry out is to the best of our ability, so that we, when we stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can say that we did that which was within our capability. So وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطِ, that on this day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will place the scales of justice. No soul will be oppressed. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. That if there is even a mustard seed, an atom's weight of a right that has to be discharged, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth on this particular day. So my respected elders and brothers, in conclusion, we spoke about the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed this community for two reasons. One, they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. But secondly, they engaged in the despicable act of cheating one another in their commercial transactions. They would withhold weights and measures from one another. They would not give the due right to one another in commercial transactions. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them and He destroyed them. And we find that the effects of engaging in curtailment of the rights of one another, not only does the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to us in the akhirah, but in addition to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned to us that we will experience famine, we will experience oppressive rulers, we will experience severe calamities, we will experience inflation, we will experience dependence and neediness, and an increase in all of these things when we engage and we do not fulfill the rights of one another. So these are the two things that we will experience, one in the akhirah and one in this dunya. So for each and every one of us, respected brothers, the solution is that firstly we should reflect on this punishment that was meted out to the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam, and we should internalize. When we recite the Quran Majid, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا, that when we are reading the Quran, are we pondering, are we thinking, are we reflecting upon the meaning of the Quran? Secondly, we should remember that ultimately we will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst we may get away in this dunya, whilst we may get away in this world, when it comes to getting our rights in full, but we do not discharge the rights of others, we should realize that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that those rights are now discharged in full. And finally, let us look around us. Let us look at the adverse economic challenges that we are facing today. The inflation, the increase in prices, the difficulties that consumers are facing. And let us make this resolve that we will engage, and in all transactions that we engage in, we will ensure that we fulfill the rights of the counterparty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and put into practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who discharge the rights of others fully. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.